an uncomfortableness that comes when you have to bear down on the facts. And I think if you're a breathing individual, there were some spots of uncomfort in that message today for each one of us. Because oftentimes we find ourselves unplugging in our mind. He talked about, you know, how we unplug from our conscience, which God has given unto us to discern between right and wrong. And you can be, if you're not careful, you can unplug one thing after another until you become, as he said, your mind is not right. All because you're just living off of the next dopamine rush, the next pleasure. If you're honest, you'll notice that in your life there's a lot of pleasure that's not doing you any good. God gave us the ability to have pleasure, right? So that must mean that there's a good thing about pleasure. But we have to be able to keep it connected to our God-given conscience to know. We also have a great benefit in the church, which I'll share with you. Now, I must tell you, just so you know, that as I was thinking last night, meditating and pondering on what God would want to say through me today, that I actually came up with what I'm going to share with you. And you will see how it dovetails in. So the great takeaway is God is concerned about the subject that the pastor started with today. I feel like God says, do whatever you have to do to support that word that was given today. So that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. In the Garden of Eden, Eve dealt with Satan. And you'll notice in the story, it's a very simple story, really. You never see the devil in the scripture there taking the woman by force and taking the forbidden fruit off the tree and forcing her mouth open and shoving it in. You do not see, that's not the story. What did the devil do? What did Satan do? He communicated to her verbally, he spoke to her. And whenever you are spoken to, there are seeds of thought that are planted in the mind. So the devil just gave her some thoughts, and all action that any of us have, is based upon what? First, a thought before we act. And there's only two thought givers in the whole universe. We might think that there are different spots where words and thoughts come from, but actually there are only two sources of words, and that's God. Isn't it interesting that John started his book, in the beginning was the, he actually said that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word predates everything. It also says the Word was God. So as you can see with great clarity, there is not a possibility to separate God from His Word. If you get the Word of God, you've got God. If you get God, you'll get His Word. It's the same. It's not separable. No one can separate out the Word and say, okay, let's talk about the Word. I've even heard people say you can have too much Word and not enough Spirit. And you can have too much Spirit and not enough Word. Well, that's ridiculous. Because when you get the Spirit, you're going to get the Word. And when you get the Word, it's by the Spirit. It's all inseparable. Jesus taught that when he left, he was going to send the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. And he said, it will teach you all things and bring to remembrance things that he had told them while on earth. He also said it's a leader and a guider into all truth. So it's a direction giver. Praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Satan planted that seed of his word, the deception in her mind, and it became an action. It says that she saw that the tree was good for food. So you can see what he did. He touched those pleasure centers, saw that the tree was good for food, and a tree desired to make one wise, in other words, to be like God. And so she took and ate of it. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for us to go to the book of Romans chapter 1. And this is what I was pondering yesterday and then even this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes, once again, that message this morning that Pastor Gilliland gave to us was one of the most important lessons ever taught. Everything springs from what he taught us. Everything. Because everything comes from the mind. You talk about a bedrock principle, and even our modern understanding of how the brain works lends right into the whole spiritual aspect of man. This message is actually a foundation stone for his ministry. Did you hear that? That message is a foundation stone for his ministry to this church. Much will be built off of what he taught this morning. Much will. This local assembly will flourish because of that message. If we heed it. If we listen to it. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Paul said this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. Wow. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power. No. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Boy, this is such a great verse because it cancels out everything else. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth or believes, to the Jew first and, woo, glory, also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein, what's therein? He's talking about in that gospel. In the gospel of Christ to those who believe is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. How does faith come? There you go. As God speaks, He speaks, He speaks, we obey, we obey. We don't just say amen in a church, we obey. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live. I like that. Y'all are thinking about the next two words. Stop that. The just shall live. The justified, those who have right actions, shall live. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm thankful that this is not a tainted way, that it is not a partial. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Pastor's handout this morning. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-L-Y. Sanctified is the holy. The W-H-O-L-L-Y means completely. Woo! To be sanctified, how? Wholly or completely. And Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. What? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the world would he even discuss this if there's not a possibility to get it right and to stay clean and to stay pure and to live from faith to faith, to live by the word of God. Hallelujah. I've never been led astray by the power of the Holy Ghost. I've never been led astray by the power of the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this, because it is the power. Verse number 18, for the wrath of God. You guys know anything about wrath? Now, I've seen the wrath of people. I've had to deal with the wrath of people in my life. But when I think about God's wrath, how dare us remove that concept from the scripture and from the word of God? How dare us? It's there. It's in the scripture. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. The word hold means suppress, to hold back, who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. If man has unrighteous acts, he is withholding or suppressing what? The truth. Because, look what he said. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. Who's them? Those that are unrighteous, that have suppressed truth. Somebody might say, well, I don't know anything. It says that we know. What may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them. Paul's comments here are not very narrow. They're not a narrow word to just a church. He's really giving us a broad view of what's going on since the foundation of the world. He said, for the invisible things, in verse 20, of him, that's God, from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Scientists that are honest, biologists that are honest, look at this study that you shared with us today about the human mind. Even as they studied it, it lined right up with the Word of God. that it's possible inside your mind to get a short circuit causing you to do what is harmful to you just because it brings pleasure. It's time for us all to set up and take notice. The pastor said he feels like pleasure has taken over many of us and many of the people in our churches. And you know what? He's not telling us something that's a lie. And we shouldn't just take what he said and throw it away and say, well, that's just how he feels. God has specifically said that in other places, and he doesn't even know about it. How God has said, I'm tired of your pleasure seeking. You need to get back to me and find your pleasure in me. The invisible things of the world is from the creation. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. The scientists and the biologists and everybody knows that there is something greater than Darwin's theory. They know that. There is scientists out there that believe that God put this all together. You know why? Because they have the Word, they believe the Word, and they see that everything that is made was formed by the Word of God. It's inseparable, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In the beginning, it says in Genesis, God moved on the voidness, the emptiness. Doesn't it say that in Genesis 1? The Spirit of the Lord moved. Now, how can God move if he's everywhere at the same time? It just means when he moves, it just means he picks a spot within himself to do something. So when God moved upon the voidness of the earth, which was blank, it was a blank canvas, we could say it was void. Then it says, after the Spirit picked a spot to do something, what happened? God said. There's your word. God said, let there be. 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 God said. Everything he said, and there it was. It just appeared. When he said it, it just appeared. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the worlds, with an S, were framed by the Word of God. The Spirit of the God, Spirit of God just means that he is not flesh and blood. Spirit just means that he's invisible. God is everywhere present at the same time. He can pick anywhere he wants to within himself to work. And that's why we say God moved in this house, because he decided to work here. We can say God spoke to us in here because God decided to speak in here. But I'll tell you what, God just doesn't pick spots and not speak. You'll never see God without his voice. In all of Scripture, you'll never see God without his voice. Even what he made speaks to the scientists. Paul had enough sense to know and understand that everything we see that is made declares God and reveals God. Look at this. He even said, even his eternal power and Godhead. Godhead means, shows up three times in the King James Bible. Godhead means deity is there. That's what Godhead is. Deity is there. You can look at something and call it deity if you want to. I worship this bottle of water. Might as well have some. This is made with men's hands from things that God made when he spoke. Man can take something and start to worship it as God, but there is nothing of the earth that has ever been formed by man that has Godhead in it or deity in it. But Paul says He has revealed deity. How did God reveal deity in the earth? There is only one that had deity in it. That was God in the earth. And it didn't come until you had the Holy Ghost overshadow Mary and cause conception in her. So he took the woman's side, and the male side was a miraculous thing from God, and she conceived miraculously and brought forth a son, and his name is what? Jesus. Who is he? He's Emmanuel. He is deity. There's only one earthly thing that ever had deity in it, and his name is Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm so thankful that he made himself known to me today. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, worthless, where? Ah, does that word sound familiar? In their imagination. And their foolish heart was what? That means it once had. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Paul says, everywhere you look, man has made gods from his hands out of wood, out of silver, out of gold, and he worships it like it's God, like there's deity in it. There is no deity in anything man has formed. He said they changed the glory of God into incorruptible thing, or an incorruptible God into corruptible things like a man. A bird, a beast, or a creeping thing. 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up. What does that mean, gave them up? Let them go. Simple modern jargon, we would just say, go ahead. You know, sometimes you try to stop people. You say, please don't do this, please don't do this, please don't do this. And they say, but I wanna, but I wanna. You say, please don't do this. I wanna, don't. I wanna, don't. I finally say, okay. You're not listening to me. Just do whatever you wanna do then. But I'm warning you. You don't wanna do it. Well, I wanna do it. Well then, that's what God did to humanity. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor. What are they dishonoring? Their own bodies between themselves. Look at that. Who changed the truth of God into a what? And they worshiped and served the creature, that which the word brought forth, more than the word that brought it forth, or the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up, there it is again, unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the man leaving the natural use of the woman. He's talking about the relationship between man and woman that's a natural one. He says man has even gone as far as to become homosexuals and lesbians. Men leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was meet. They got what they had coming, is what Paul says. Now, that pretty well put a sober blanket over the congregation. But we better pay attention to this. You can live in the world and who knows what you'll do. You might say, well, I would never. You have no idea what you would do when you let the wrong thoughts come into your mind. You can, you know, look at something and say, well, I know that's part of it. You can read something and say, well, I know that's a part of it. But the more you're around it, the more you allow it in the room with you, the more susceptible you are to having your mind changed. And the more susceptible you are to having your mind changed, it may be a comedy, but remember, the devil loves comedy to preach to us, to put things in our minds. And the next thing you know, it takes hold. It takes root. No longer is it just part of the room, but it's part of your mind. No longer is it just part of your mind, but now it's starting to come out in your action. And you also start to accept the behavior that's wrong in others because somebody tells you that you have to accept that which is against God. You do not have to accept what is against God. So men and women having sexual relationships one with another, Paul says. 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? A reprobate mind. All right? Let's take a look at this word reprobate. It comes from two. It's kind of like a compound word. You know how we have compound words in English? You bring two words together. Sometimes. Some is a word and times is the word. You could bring them together. You have a compound word. Sometimes. So that's an explanation of a compound word. This word here, reprobate, in the original language is a compound word. The first word that we deal with means without. It's not there. Without. The second one is acceptable. So let's just put it together. Without acceptable. Not accepted. Unapproved. So God says, fine. Since you refuse to listen to me, then I'm going to allow you, Pastor, to unplug from your conscience. I'm going to allow you to unplug, and I'm going to let you have a reprobate mind, a mind that does not comprehend properly. And that's what Pastor taught us today. We have the ability to unplug in our mind just because pleasure takes over, the dopamine takes over, and so we say, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this, knowing full well God does not approve. So I'm going to unplug my ability to think about God's approval or not. And then you start to hear stupid stuff come out of people's mouth. They say things like, well, there's really no right and wrong. If you've got that rattling around in your mind, you need to handcuff it. Take it out. Everything is right or wrong with God. Everything. You mean God really cares about? Stop. Don't play games with God. Do you think God is an imbecile? Do you think God is incapable of directing you to the right vehicle, to the right job, to the right house? Well, God doesn't care. Stop. Do you think God is that dumb that he can't give you the right thoughts? But you have to be open to him. You have to say, is this really right for me? Should I have this in my life? Should I be participating in this? I know it brings me pleasure, but is it all right with you? And the answer is, it better be all right with God. We better stay plugged in. So where we can make good judgments. So a reprobate mind, what does it mean? It means without acceptance. In other words, God does not accept what's in your mind and your actions. That's why if you go back to the first murder, it was over a worship service. Two guys are bringing sacrifices to God, one of the ground and one of an animal. And God says, the animal I accept. There you go. You're thinking right. And he says, I don't accept this. Cain, I don't accept your sacrifice. And God asks, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you having a little pout fit right now? He really told him, I've already given you my word. I've already given you the will of God. All you have to do is comply, but you're not acceptable. What kind of mind did he have? What kind of mind did Cain have? A reprobate mind. I have to tell you, this is the part that brings me much joy today. I have to tell you that over the years, reprobate mind, as bad as it is, has gotten a false rap. A lot of people have said that, you know, if you're reprobate, you're without hope. Well, we know that's not true. It doesn't mean that you're cut off from God and you have no hope. It is possible to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when the pastor taught us today, I'm going to tell you something. When the pastor taught us today, you know what happened inside of your mind when the Word of God, if you allowed it, now you can block from hearing. You can be in the same room and block. But if you allowed today God's Word to get into your mind and heart, you know what happened? Bang, 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 all these reconnections happen. The moment God's Word comes into the mind of a person, they get plugged back in. And you start thinking about all that's wrong with your thinking. But here's what we do. We walk out of this building, get in our car, turn on our radios, and unplug what the Word of God plugged in. Jesus taught that the devil can come to the pathway where a hard heart is and steal the seed, which is the Word of God. I have to be careful what I allow to go on in my mind. I have to be careful what's going on inside of my mind, because whatever's going on in here is going to come out in what I do and what I say. Look at it again. Reprobate mind, verse 28. To do those things which are not convenient. Now notice the punctuation. Check that out right up here. What's that punctuation? A reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. What is that? That's a semicolon, right? Okay, then that means it's joined to a bunch of other information. Yes, it is. So a reprobate mind, next verse. What is a reprobate mind? Anybody know what a reprobate mind is? Paul's going to tell us. Being filled with what? Look at that. All unrighteousness. I'm going to read from a different translation. Filled with all kinds of sin. Keep your eyes on that. Evil, which is like wickedness. Selfishness. You mean when I'm selfish, I'm thinking with a reprobate mind? A mind that's not approved of God? Yes. Hatred, evil, malice, depravity, full of jealousy. Remember, I'm reading from a different one, different translation. Just keep your eyes on that one. Envy, jealousy, murder, fighting. That's like quarreling, strife. You ever been around that? That comes from a reprobate mind. Comes from a mind that's not accepted of God. Lying, same thing. thinking the worst about each other. They're gossips. Verse 30. So a gossip doesn't have the right mind and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They're rude. They're conceited. They brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They do not obey their parent. Whoa. No wonder we can say, you little reprobate. In other words, you're not thinking right. Your thinking is not acceptable to God. And Paul taught, it's all unrighteousness. If I live out my life by doing the wrong things because I've unplugged from that which I know I'm supposed to do. Now we have a great dilemma in the human race. We actually are born with a sin nature. So this is the second half. Well, hopefully it's not a half, but this is the second part. We're born with a sin nature. So how can we get over this idea that we just keep doing the wrong thing? Even though we have a conscience, we soon learn how to do what? Disregard it. But there is a way that Jesus has made for us so that we can have an actual different mind. I think that is really exciting news, because we actually have a mind that's depraved. We're born we're not born sinners because we haven't done anything yet, but it doesn't take us long. Because we have in us the nature to do wrong because of being a descendant of Adam and Eve. So no matter how much you want to do the right thing, and you may try, you still have two problems. Somebody's got to pay for your past sins, and somebody's got to give you power for your test. So we have to take care of our old past sin. Somebody's got to pay the price for sin. And we have to have the ability to think right without a preacher following us around and speaking into our ear. We got to have a way that pastor doesn't... You want to switch back?
Test.
We have to have a way... That's better. Hallelujah. We have to have a way that we can live correctly and actually put to rest the old nature, to kill it so it won't have the ability to come and take over our thinking again. Because Pastor Gilliland can follow you around and he can say, don't watch that. Don't go in there. Don't buy that. Don't say that. Well, he can only follow one person. And after a while, you'd say, get off me. And he'd say, fine, go ahead and have a reprobate mind. But thank God that Jesus Christ said, I'm now with you, boys. But when I get out of here, I shall be in you. If you don't have Jesus in you, then you're going to do the wrong thing. But thank God you can have Jesus in you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus taught, he said, you can't follow me unless you deny
or disown yourself. Take up your cross, the place of death for you. It's like we're doing this song this morning. It was talking about, Lord, take me to the cross. And I immediately wanted to get up and pull that down and do a lesson and say, no, 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 Lord Jesus, don't take me to the cross. You've already done that. You want me to take up my cross and get myself under control and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to be my leader and my guide. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care what you sing. You're not going to put Jesus back on the cross. A lot of churches have Jesus on the cross. He's not there. He's off of that cross. He's already been in the grave, and he's out of the grave, and he's out of here, and he's going to live forevermore. We're not talking about death. We're talking about life. We need to get the death of self so we can have the life of Christ living within us. What did Jesus teach Nicodemus? He said, Nick, a man has to be born again. Again? Again, Jesus? You mean I got to get back inside my mama and come out again? That's what he said. Get back in my mother and come. He said, no. He said, a man must be born again. Flesh produces flesh. Not talking about that. Set it aside. There is something that is not in you, Nicodemus, that I can put in you. And it's a brand new life. It's a spiritual man that doesn't live there right now. You must be born again. The Spirit will come inside of you. You can be born again of water and of the Spirit. When you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, all your old sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. When Jesus fills you with the power of the Holy Ghost, you've got a future life that you did not have before. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Somebody won't give you the words to say. That's fake and that's a fraud. Somebody can't give you the Holy Ghost, and somebody can't get in your ear to give you the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Ghost when God connects with you and you connect with God and you're willing to make him king of your life. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, there's not going to be any question in your mind about the power of God. Does anybody here have a testimony that when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, everything changed? Your old life was different. It was gone. And now you had a new life and something happened to your mind. When you receive the Holy Ghost, something happens to your mind. You know what happens? God comes in and plugs everything back in. And then people get the Holy Ghost, you know, they're so excited, and they start saying to the people in the church, you know what God told me? God told me to quit listening to this music. And they look at it and they go, what music? This right here. God told me to delete all these. And they go, I have that on my phone. And so we start to train people that when the Holy Ghost speaks to them, you don't have to listen because God doesn't care about all the little things. Stop telling people that. You're a stumbling block. When God tells people that things aren't good for them, that's bringing you pleasure, maybe you ought to listen to what they're saying. Yeah, but they don't have any experience. They've only had the Holy Ghost for 48 hours. That's the people you need to listen to. Because they got everything plugged back in. And they're raw about this. And they're like, wow, look what God is doing with me. Look what God is showing. The reason why some people don't understand what I'm talking about is because there are a lot of people that don't have the Holy Ghost who say they do. But when you really get the real thing, something happens to your very mind. You start thinking different immediately. It's not a 5-year course of God plugging stuff back into your brain. It gets plugged in. All you have to do is follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Do you think Jesus fills somebody with the Holy Ghost and says, now you don't have the ability to live right? Because you're not smart enough yet. No, Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. All right. Ready? Romans chapter 12. Verse number 1. Paul says again to the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Beseech means to beg. I beg you guys, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? A living sacrifice. You don't present your bodies dead. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. That means blameless. That means pure. And that means clean. Is it possible? If it isn't possible, then this is a bunch of foolishness. It is possible to be right with God. It is possible to be clean. It is possible to keep yourself pure and clean. Because we have the Holy Ghost. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Ah, you see this? There it is. Acceptable unto God. A life that's lived correctly is a life that's based on God. And what he approves of and what he disapproves of, we don't do. We're a living sacrifice. We're holy. It's acceptable unto God. We don't have reprobate thinking, right? Which is your reasonable service. To be not conformed to the... You know what conformity means? Conformity means like that one chameleon. He crawls on something green and he turns green. He crawls on something brown and he turns brown. You ever been like that? Whoever you're around, you're like. Conformity to the world. But be ye what? There you go. There's a good word. Transformed. Metamorphosis. We're talking about, look at that caterpillar, mommy. He's spinning a cocoon around himself. Yeah, let's just keep watching that cocoon. Remember the little wiggly worm that was in there? Remember that ugly little thing? After a while, that thing breaks open, and out comes a moth, a butterfly, a winged creature that sits there for just a few moments and lets the sun and the air dry its wings, and then, poof, it takes flight, and off it goes. You say, wait a minute, that is like a... Is that the same? Yeah, but that's a transformation. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of the... Woo, there it is. The renewing, the regeneration of your mind. So it's imperative that if we're going to be a living sacrifice... Our minds have to be renovated. Our minds have to be put back together properly. And Jesus Christ will do that through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now look at that. So don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind that you may prove. You know what that means? That you may show what is the good... And acceptable, and what? Everybody say the word. Double dog dare you, everybody to say it. Doesn't sound like everybody said it. Yeah. We can show what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How can you show what is the perfect will of God? Without having a transformed mind. Not possible. Let's stand together today across this building if you would. So last night and this morning as God dealt with me about Romans chapter 1. I had no idea that our pastor was going through over the past few days a workup on what he taught us this morning. Indeed, it is about the mind. Because from the mind flows all of our actions. I always thought it was interesting that people would drive down a street and they would point to somebody and don't even know them and say, "Do you see her? Do you know what she is? Can you tell what she is?" Anybody ever heard that before? Come on, think with me now. There are certain streets in certain cities that you go, and how in the world would a guy that is looking for a prostitute know which one is? You can be from out of town, businessman visiting Chicago, and you live in New York City, and you want to entertain yourself with a prostitute, and you don't know anybody in town, but you ask, "Where are they at?" And you go, and how can you tell? A lot of times there's visual cues, right? You guys are about as nervous with this subject. Maybe I should have picked another one. Like, you see a guy with a red hat, he's driving a big red truck, and he's got rubber clothes on. That's my whole point. You know a prostitute on the street by the way she dresses and the way she uses her body. Maybe it's good God took me to that. Because are we showing in our lifestyle, in everything that we do, the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God? Well, you have to have a transformed mind. You got to live by a different nature. As Pastor Gilliland spoke to us this morning, I started thinking about my own life. Did you? Did any of you start thinking about your own life? Did you think about your thought life? Did you think about what goes on in your mind? The word stronghold in the New Testament shows up once, and that's the spot. And it's not a building, it's the mind. It's where certain thoughts can get, and there can be a wall built around them. And we can actually get really... Have you ever hid something from your parents or hid something from somebody and they get really close to finding it? I mean, you're like going nuts. "Over here, look over here. Wah, 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 wah." Have you ever seen anybody jump in front of a door? "No, you don't want to look in here. You don't want to go in here. No, 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 don't go in the attic. Don't go in the attic. Don't go to the shed. No, no, no. Let me go first." Why? Because I got something in there that's not acceptable. In our own minds, we have thoughts that when the preacher and our pastor preaches and teaches to us, we go, "Whoa, I'm going to guard that. I don't want to tear it down." But what does the scripture teach us? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's time to arrest those thoughts that are not supposed to be in our mind. One last thing. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. He said this. He said, "You once were homosexuals, liars, cheaters, abusive, but," he said, "you're washed and you're cleansed." That means Corinth had some reprobate minds in their past. As a matter of fact, what we found out, even disobedience of children is reprobate thinking. It's not approved of God. So that shows us that there is hope for the reprobate. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Let's thank God for his word today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Would you just seal this word right now with your hands lifted up? Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, I know you may resist it in your flesh. But if you allow the Spirit, come on, if you will be Spirit-led. Here today, I know that you've been brought to some things, to remembrance of some things that you don't want to cut off, but the Spirit's leading you to cut off. God, let us, Lord, renew our mind right now. God, let us, Lord Jesus, the things that you, Lord, have brought us to stop. God, let us stop. Let us listen to your Spirit. Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. I will open up this altar if you feel a drawing to it. Amen. But I think that the reality is this word today is one of action, and it says, come on, you already know what the Spirit's saying to you. You already know. Come on, if you need to seal it at this altar, then come. If you need to make a declaration in the Spirit right now, then you come. Come on, if you want to make a commitment right now, you can come. Come on. Or you can just make up in your mind where you're at and say, all right, I'm going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, but as we do, we're going to have the piano play, but I want to open up this altar. If you want to seal it right now, come on, I'm just going to let this be the conclusion of the service. If you need to go, you can go. Amen. If you want to stay, you want to seal this right now, you do so in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.